So we're reading from the book of Acts this morning. We're in, the lesson is from the chapter 6 and 7, a little bit of 7. We're reading from 6 verses 3 through 8. It says, "Brothers and sisters, carefully choose 7 well-respected men from among you. They must be well-respected and endowed with the Spirit with exceptional wisdom. We will put them in charge of this concern. As for us, we devote ourselves to prayer and the service of proclaiming the word. This proposal pleased the entire community. They selected Stephen, a man endowed by the Holy Spirit with exceptional faith, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch." See, I told you. "A convert to Judaism. The community presented these 7 to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. God's word continued to grow. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased significantly. Even a large group of priests embraced the faith. Stephen, who stood out among the believers for the way God's grace was at work in his life and for his exceptional endowment with divine power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
So I read just kind of this strange center part of a scripture for you. So we'll have to set up a context for what was going on in the beginning of it, and then what was happening, why I selected the little piece I did, and then tie it together here. But I had to use a specific title for the sermon today. Do you have the title screen there, Robert? I hope so. I hope you put that one on there, because I had to have force in our title today. Some of you know why. Uh-huh. Why do we have to have force in our title today?
May the force be with you.
And also with you. Hey, see? I'm so glad. And my really big Star Wars person was not even at Rich Hill today, so I was really bummed that he wasn't there today. So I was like, darn it, Doug, I named this just for you. But what we are reading, this little section, this section of scripture is one of those that this is why I follow a lectionary, even though sometimes we don't like lectionary. If I don't follow this reading plan, it's too easy to skip over the bumps in the road. And the story of Stephen is one of the bumps in the road. It's one of the things that we don't love to see in our scriptures. We don't want to read about violent things. In fact, the whole scripture selection stops short of what happens to Stephen and just goes through his arrest, because we don't like to talk about people throwing rocks at other people. But ultimately, we know that is the end, what happened with Stephen. And so this part of the scripture, as I was reading through it and knowing what the ultimate end was to ask myself, what is the overall thing besides that part we don't like to look at? What should we see in here? What can we learn from this piece? What does it inform us about God, right? And so I read through this first portion where we have our 12 apostles who are serving the people and their conflict, and then the conflict that happened with Stephen, and I realized that this is about conflict resolution. This full scripture is about the different ways that conflict happened and then how it was dealt with. And so our lesson that we're going to pick up is the difference. So the first part of it, I don't know, I'm probably not going to read this. The first part of it, we have the 12 apostles who have been out bringing people into their community of faith. And by community of faith, I don't even mean that they were bringing new folks into a church like this. In that particular time and place, if you joined their church and joined their quote-unquote literal community, you sold your home and moved in. Everybody pooled their resources. And we today go, well, we've seen that in history and it always comes out weird. But they didn't know that yet. And so they were the new movement, the Christ believers. This was the first places in the Bible where it called us Christians, by the way, were getting together, and they were becoming an organized faith. And their idea was, here we've spent all this time in our scriptures talking about the least and the last, right? The people who don't have things. And so by joining together in one cohesive community and becoming organized, there wouldn't be anybody who was left out or behind. Everybody should be taken care of. So that was one of the purposes. And the disciples were doing a great job of bringing in new folks. Well, what happens when something starts small and you have this many people in charge of it, you had 12, and then all of a sudden there's thousands of people and 12? What happens? Even an organized plan gets a little disorganized, doesn't it? It becomes more than you can do. It gets a little overwhelming. And so we have these 12 guys who've been taking care of it. And like I said, nobody's to do without. There were resources, and they were dividing them up. So in this church that they had, there was kind of a division of two different types of people who joined it. There was the Hellenists and the Hebrews, and some translations word some of this a little differently, but I want to point out what that means so that we can understand. The Hellenists were the ones who were Jewish but spoke Greek. Okay, they grew up in a Greek society, and they were Jewish people, but they spoke Greek. Might call them the contemporary worship, the contemporary church, okay? Because they did things a little differently. And then the other group in their one cohesive church was the Hebrews. And the Hebrews spoke Aramaic, which was their kind of their original tongue, and they were more the traditional church. They did things their old school way. So you have these two groups of people who come together and have one worship. Well, for some reason, the Greek-speaking Jews had more widows among them than the Aramaic-speaking Jews. His story does not specify why. They just say, for some reason, this is what was happening. So imagine, if you will, that you have these 12 disciples who have been keeping track of everything and doing all of the work, and they've also been the ones kind of planning out the distribution of things. And let's pretend, for imagination's sake, I associated this with our food boxes that we hand out in Butler. The food pantry hands out food boxes to folks. And so let's say that they had a certain number of food boxes from the beginning of this whole organized plan, and they said, we're going to give 7 food boxes to these widows and 7 food boxes to these. Well, as it turns out, there was 20, you know, widows on the Greek-speaking side having these 7 food boxes, and there was only 10. In the Aramaic-speaking side that had these 7 food boxes. So do you see why they were kind of grumbling? Because there were more people with the same amount of food. But when they planned it, it was fair, right? Everybody had the same amount. It wasn't an intent for it to go wrong, but as the thing grew, them trying to keep track of how many of each different section of folks who needed food was becoming more difficult. And so they looked around them, that the people here who had 10 boxes for 20 people started to get grumbly that these guys had more, and it's not fair. And so they brought their concerns to the disciples, and the disciples look back in history, and they see Moses. Do you remember Moses? You remember his father-in-law, Jethro, the talk he had with Moses? What did he say to him? You can't do this all by yourself. If you try and do this, like keep track of all of the management, you're not going to be able to be the leader for the people that they need you to be. You need to get some trusted people to help take care of this. So our disciples have learned from their Old Testament forefathers and said, you know what, we can't continue to be the managers of the food supply, or else we're not going to keep proclaiming the gospel and bringing new people into the faith. Which one's more important? They're both important, right? And so they said, okay, well, we're going to get you all, they empowered the people, to select wisely 7 people that will be in charge of all that management that can help figure that all out so that we can continue to do the work that God set us aside for, that Jesus trained us for. Jesus didn't train us to separate food boxes. Jesus trained us to be the healers and the preachers. And so they picked their 7 people. And they laid their hands upon those 7 people and infused them with the Holy Spirit and sent them out to do the work. And it says that the result of this was that the church flourished. They grew. So what happened in their conflict? Good ending or bad? Good. So then we move in. We have met Stephen. He's one of the 7. He's the bright and shining star in the 7 people that they selected. But Stephen, as we learn his story, then he introduces a different kind of conflict that happened and a different kind of resolution. He was so gifted at his speaking and preaching that he was attracting the attention of others, especially the religious leaders. And we read in Acts 6, verse 9, opposition arose from some who belonged to the so-called synagogue of the freed. I'm trying to say it the way that it is. How does it word in your Bible, out of curiosity, Diane, in first time? Synagogue of?
Freedmen.
Okay, see, mine actually says former slaves, but I know that yours says freedmen, and so I keep trying to say it the other way. And what that is literally was people who had been Roman slaves. And once they were freed, rather than going back to their hometowns and going back to their old temples, they said, well, we're going to stay where we have lived and grown to be a part of the community, and we're going to start our own temple. And they named it the Synagogue of the Freedmen, literally people who had been freed of their slavery. And why this is kind of important to us as we read where these people are from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and Asia. Does any of those towns ring a bell with anybody, out of curiosity? These folks got into a debate with Stephen. See, these were Jewish people who were the Synagogue of the Freedmen. Jewish, they believed in God, just like the Jewish people who had brought Stephen into the ministry. These are all Jewish people. The difference between them was these guys believed in Jesus and these didn't know yet. Well, the reason why one of these towns might have sounded familiar to us is because it is believed that from Cyrene, that's the one that kind of rang my bell. Do we know somebody from Cyrene? Well, and Paul, who was Saul, was believed to be a leader in that church who was having a debate with Stephen. And if we do read the whole story of Stephen, we find out that Paul was one of the members at Rich Hill came through and said, I think I heard that Paul was the first one to pick up a rock. And I said, I have always heard that Paul held the coats of the people who threw the rocks. But he was definitely there. And see, that's that connection. That's why we kind of are overlapping Stephen and Paul into one another's story. This is where they probably became familiar with each other. Paul very well might have been one of the people debating with Stephen. And so we have these two groups of Jewish people who believed in God, who believed they were doing God's work and will. And these folks, what they did was they debated Stephen. And Stephen was so good and so empowered with the Spirit that he offended them with his words. And he at first he just sounded great. He was doing all the Old Testament stuff, and he starts telling them about Jesus, and they didn't believe in Jesus. So that made him angry. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was when Stephen says to them, and you're exactly the kind of people who put Jesus to death. Oh gosh, that didn't go over well at all. And then they promptly carried Stephen outside, picked up rocks, and took away his life. So two conflicts between groups of people who were God people, who were doing God's work, who wanted to do God's will. But these folks, from within, empowered each other. These folks relied on the Old Testament teachings. These folks relied on the power of prayer. And these ones let Satan do Satan's work. Because Satan works inside people who go to church still to see if he can create havoc, to see if he can get us to be grumbly with each other and not come to a peaceful resolution, just like these guys did over here. To see if we will choose the way that takes someone's life. And see, instead of empowering people, these guys from this other tradition got the crowds involved, just like they did around Jesus, and they told lies about Stephen and got them all angry. And so everyone was in support of, well, let's just put this guy to death. Let's just throw rocks at him. So our question in all of it isn't, will there be conflict? It's, how are we going to resolve it? Do we want to resolve it with prayer, scripture, and empowering each other, just like you did today when you asked us to surround you? You empowered us, Lori. Or do we resolve it by making people angry and stirring the pot and harming one another? I have a more modern story for you from 2006. In 2006, in a little town, I had to look up the name here, called Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, a troubled man walked into a little Amish schoolhouse and took the lives of 5 students and then took his own. That's all too familiar to us today, isn't it? Within hours of this event, this horrible and senseless loss, the Amish community went to that man's home and forgave the family. They went to the funeral of the man who took their children's lives. They took care of his widow, and they raised funds to take care of his children. Now, people around there said the Amish community was weak. Do we think they were weak? How strong would you have to be to walk in there and say, I forgive this. And not only do I forgive this, I'm going to take care of your children after losing mine. Gosh, it gives me goosebumps every time I read this. But this was a community of faith that looked into their scriptures, that looked into what God would have them do and prayed, and they chose the path of prayer and peace rather than, I assure you, the community was telling them to pick up rocks. We still have so many big and small instances come across us each day where we have to choose whether we rely on God's way or allow Satan to put rocks in our pockets. The question isn't, will there be conflict? The question is, how will we deal with it?